from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. There's no debating that the Oakland A's are a good baseball team. They're in first place in the American League West and have one of the best home records in baseball. What is debatable is where they should call home. For the past 4 years, A's owner Lou Wolf has wanted to move the A's from Oakland to San Jose, a city that eagerly awaits them. But Major League Baseball has had its finger on the pause button, studying the matter. And now the city of San Jose has decided it's had enough of the waiting game. And this week, the city filed suit in federal court, challenging baseball's right to keep the A's from finding their way to San Jose. To learn more about this topic, we're joined now by John Wolfhook, City Hall reporter for the San Jose Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group. John, good morning.
Good morning.
And we're also joined by Sam Licardo, a City of San Jose Council member. Mr. Licardo, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you, Dave.
We should also note that we invited both representatives of Major League Baseball and the San Francisco Giants, who, as you will hear, play a role in this story, to join us, but both declined to do so. The Oakland A's also declined to participate. John Wolfhook, let's begin by just setting out what's going on here. Lawsuit, and just describe what the actual suit is intended to do. They're saying that Major League Baseball unlawfully conspired. What is unlawful about what the city of San Jose is saying that Major League Baseball is doing?
Well, they're saying that they they're violating the country's laws against trusts, that they effectively are a monopoly, and that's illegal.
And this takes us straight to the question of the antitrust exemption, which baseball has benefited from for some 90 years. What is that antitrust exemption?
Well, back in the 1922 Supreme Court decision, the court basically ruled that baseball is an interstate commerce. And it was beyond the reach of Congress to regulate it with antitrust law. And there were at least two decisions by the Supreme Court since then that declined to overturn it and upheld that decision. Today, it's a situation that's different from all the other pro sports leagues, the NFL, the NBA. They all operate under antitrust law, but the baseball exemption remains.
And so that means that baseball has the power at this time to make these decisions in a way that no other sports leagues do?
Exactly.
And tell us something about the level of frustration about this question, Sam Licardo, in the city of San Jose, which has been patiently awaiting this arrival of the A's for some time now. What sort of put you over the edge?
Well, Dave, the frustration isn't just that no other sports league is similarly exempt from antitrust laws. It's that there's no other industry in America that's similarly exempt from antitrust laws. Everywhere in America, we believe that companies, that business enterprises should compete. We think that's better for consumers. We think that's better for shareholders. We think that's better for an economy that we want to grow. Unfortunately, Major League Baseball feels that they're above the law. And we here in San Jose are in the heart of Silicon Valley, where companies compete ferociously and as a result create incredibly innovative products and services that drive the world economy. We think that San Jose should be allowed to compete and the athletics organization should be allowed to compete.
And this question of competition focuses again now on the San Francisco Giants. And this has to do, and John Wolfhook, maybe you can explain this to us, that there is this territorial imperative that different teams have. And in the case of the Giants, they are sort of given the territory of not only obviously San Francisco, but also San Mateo, Santa Clara counties, including the city of San Jose. How did that come about? Why is it that the Giants can say, oh no, San Jose is ours?
Well, it's a unique division even in the baseball world. Part of it has to do with, when the A's came out in the 1960s, the American League and the National League were effectively separate organizations. Today, that's no longer the case. But back then, when the A's moved out to Oakland, there wasn't a whole lot that the Giants could really do about it. Because they were in separate leagues. Today, the National League and American League are really no longer exist except in name, and the organization is controlled by Major League Baseball. So that is part of it. Back in the early 90s, when the Giants were trying to build a ballpark in the San Jose area, they had a handshake deal with the A's owner at the time, Wally Haas, and he said, sure, move down farther away from Oakland. That's fine with me if you want to build a ballpark there. They never got their ballpark. Voters turned down taxes to build it, and they ultimately ended up building their current home, AT&T Park.
And that's part of the story as well, correct, John, that the Giants argue that when they built their ballpark in downtown San Francisco that and self-financed it, that part of it was with the understanding that they sort of had this territory on the peninsula side of the bay stretching down to San Jose and that they counted on that as part of their revenue base?
That's right. They had it written into the MLB Constitution and reaffirmed on several votes, which they have pointed out as in their defense that they kind of relied on this promise. It is a unique situation. No other two-team market in baseball divides the metropolitan area by county and assigns one to one team and the other to the other. All the others, Chicago, New York, they basically just share the market.
Which brings us back to your point, Sam Liccardo, about wanting to have sort of open competition in the same way, I guess, the White Sox and the Cubs do in Chicago and so forth. But how do you make your legal argument, given that the Supreme Court has upheld baseball's antitrust exemption on three different occasions, given that the Giants had this sort of handshake arrangement with the A's that Santa Clara County was theirs, what gives you encouragement that you can mount a successful legal challenge?
Well, most legal commentators would agree that the antitrust exemption is hanging by a legal thread. Although the exemption was created seemingly out of thin air in 1922, in the two major decisions since that time, the Supreme Court has really run away from its logic and conceded that certainly, as we all know, baseball is interstate commerce. It can be regulated by federal law. And importantly, it appears in many ways the antitrust exemption, the focus of the exemption, has really been narrowed in many ways. Now, I'm not a legal expert, and so I won't spend a lot of time focusing on that, but I think it is also important to recognize that this complaint that we've filed doesn't just allege antitrust violations. It also alleges interference with contractual relationships, and that is the city of San Jose has an option agreement with the Athletics over the purchase of land in downtown San Jose. That option can only be exercised with the construction of a ballpark. And it was entered into by both parties with the expectation that there would be a good faith effort by Major League Baseball when they said that they would study this, that they would really study this and come to a decision sometime in our lifetimes.
And you're also arguing, are you not, that there are that the city has endured certain financial damages, that you've had to pay a real price because of this waiting game?
Yeah, there are certainly different ways to measure the impact. We had an independent analyst study what the financial impact would be to the city with a ballpark back in 2009. That study revealed very conservatively that the city of San Jose would generate about $1.5 million in tax revenue just for the city. That's not counting the $500,000 to San Jose Unified School District or hundreds of thousands of dollars to the county and many other public agencies. So that's dollars that we obviously would love to have to be able to pay for police officers and open libraries. We also know that there's enormous amount of economic impact beyond the fiscal impact. The very conservative estimates were about $82 million a year in direct spending that would support restaurants, hotels, and, of course, the broader economic impact. And we see what stadiums do in downtown urban areas throughout the country, in Baltimore and Denver and San Diego. They have a transformative impact in areas of the city where, as here, you've got essentially industrial parcels that are largely blighted, great opportunities for development of entertainment, restaurants, housing around a ballpark that could really provide a great economic lift to the city.
But it's still somewhat speculative. I mean, you really don't know for sure. I mean, what if the A's are terrible? What if they become the worst team in baseball and you build this ballpark and nobody comes? I mean, couldn't there be a scenario where there's no great economic benefit if the A's turn out to be awful?
Well, the Padres haven't really set the world on fire in San Diego, and yet anyone who goes to the Gaslamp District will tell you that stadium construction was an extraordinary catalyst for downtown San Diego. It really doesn't take a tremendously successful team. The one thing we do know is that no matter how successful the Athletics are on the field, as they have been wildly successful over the last year and a half, they've finished first in their division last year, they're first today, they are drawing poorer than virtually any other team in baseball. They're among the bottom five in attendance. And so there's no question they can do better elsewhere. They're going to leave Oakland at some point this decade. They're either going to leave Oakland for Vegas or Austin or some other city, or we're going to be able to keep them in the Bay Area. I hope we can keep them in the Bay Area in San Jose.
In your reporting, John Wolfhook, is that a given? I mean, Mayor Kwan in Oakland continues to say that they have viable ballpark opportunities in the city of Oakland. Is that just whistling into the wind, or is there still a possibility that the A's could build an actual stadium in Oakland?
Well, there's the possibility that they could build it, I suppose. I mean, you could build one on the site of the Coliseum land that they have now. But do they want to do that, and is that worth a $500 million private investment? I don't think they think that it is. There are other proposals that have been thrown out there for developing areas closer to the waterfront or downtown. Oakland doesn't have the money to put that together. There's all kinds of transportation infrastructure issues that come up. There's been no studies, no environmental prep or anything like that. Lou Wolf, the A's owner, says they've studied that to death and it's not feasible. While the Coliseum arena complex area is potentially available, I don't think baseball is really interested in developing new ballparks along freeways outside of the city core, and I don't think that the current owners think that it's worth a $500 million private investment. So unless Oakland and Alameda County want to kick in tons of money to build it, I don't know that that's a realistic alternative.
Probably, especially because they haven't had the best experience in the past involving the
40 years
the
of low attendance.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not something that just came up with Lou Wolf and John Fisher. I mean, Charlie Finley was trying to move the A's to New Orleans and Denver back in the 70s after they won three World Series in a row.
Well, and the city has also already had to deal with the fallout from spending public funds on the stadium upgrade for the benefit of the Oakland Raiders. And we welcome your comments and thoughts on this. If you live in the city of San Jose, what's your feeling about trying to get the A's to your city? If you live in Oakland, what's your feeling about yet another development in the long-running saga of where the A's will call home? You can join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org. Camilo joins us first in Oakland. Camilo, go ahead.
Yeah, how do you explain the terrible behavior of the A's owners? I mean, why not just keep the A's in Oakland? Mayor Kwan has put forth two separate viable proposals, and the owners won't even sit down with her. They've done things like during the playoffs, when the A's actually made it to the playoffs, despite all the things that the owners have done to prevent that, they still made it to the playoffs, and they won't even open up all the seats in the Coliseum.
Camilo, thanks. Sam Liccardo, why don't you respond to that? I mean, I know you want the A's to come to San Jose, but I suspect there's part of you that feels some sympathy, at least for the long-suffering A's fans who have put up with not the best of ballparks and who have been incredibly loyal. And the ballplayers themselves there seem to feel in general that they'd like to, you know, that they feel that their fans deserve their continuing presence in that city.
Well, to try an old line, I certainly feel their pain. I've been an A's fan since the Ricky Henderson and Dwayne Murphy days in the early 80s, so I certainly know what they're going through. I think the important thing to remember, as I said before, is this is not about San Jose versus Oakland. any owner of any major league team that is consistently drawing in the 20,000 range is going to be looking for the door, and they're going to go to probably a larger city, a city that can draw more people to fill the seats, and certainly more corporations to be able to pay for the larger ticket items around sponsorships and box seats. I really think that in terms of whatever anyone considers to be a viable site or not in Oakland is very much in the eye of the beholder. As John mentioned, there is an extraordinary amount of work that needs to be done to environmentally clear a site, to be able to ensure that there's transportation infrastructure that can serve the site. And simply pointing to a spot on a map is not what it takes. It takes a lot of years of work and a lot of money. In our case, we've gone through the environmental clearance in the Diridon site. We've got infrastructure improvements on the way. BART's under construction. We're doing what we need to do to be ready. That's not something you do overnight.
Camilo, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Tony in San Jose. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'm a real big A's fan. I'm a big Giants fan. I'm actually a big, huge baseball fan in general. I love going to the A's games because they're just so many great fans, so many great personalities. But, you know, getting there from San Jose, where I'm a resident, is so hard. It's so challenging because, it can take up to 2 hours in traffic to just get there. And BART isn't a viable option because I have to get in my car and drive to a BART station to get there anyway. You know, I'd love to see him in San Jose. I'm a big supporter of the team. I don't think it's going to affect the Giants having to move, but I'd love to have him down in the Bay Area and, keep that fan base that is the Bay Area because I love him so much.
Tony, thanks. Thanks for your enthusiasm. A's are doing well, even if we're not sure where they're going to call home. They're still in first place, at least by a game. Richard in San Jose is next. Richard.
Hey, good morning. Thank you very much. I was listening with interest to Mr. Liccardo's statement about the revenue-generating capabilities of the stadium, and he pointed to San Diego, Denver, and Baltimore as examples. But there are alternative studies that show that these stadiums actually don't generate anywhere near as much revenue as the builders often suppose that they're going to do. And in each of the cities that he cited, they actually already had metropolitan renewal programs underway. I think he's got the cart before the horse in suggesting that it was the stadium that actually was the catalyst. I think it was the other way around. And so I'm wondering, why does he continue to promote the idea that we're going to get an economic benefit? In all probability, it's just going to be a pulse.
And Richard, before I let you go, you said that there are some, there it hasn't worked always. Do you have an example to point to where building a stadium has not led to some rejuvenation? I get your cart before the horse question, but are there cities that have had a bad experience with bringing a team or building a stadium?
Yes, there are, and there are studies that published. I don't have the names of them off the top of my head. I didn't realize that this discussion was going on this morning, or I would have had my references available. But I do know that the studies are out there. I've looked at them carefully because we've been following the development of the A's move to San Jose for some number of years.
Okay, Richard, thanks for the call. Sam Liccardo on the cart before the horse question.
Well, I would say first, with regard to the fiscal impact, you have two different impacts, the fiscal to the city and then, of course, the economic impact, the broader economy. With regard to the fiscal impact, you know, don't believe me, I'm a politician. Do the math yourself. If someone is investing $500 million of private investment on a single site, you can do the math pretty quickly to figure out what happens in terms of tax revenue to all the public agencies that benefit from property tax. And if you take even the minimal amount of calculations of attendance in terms of who's going to come and how many, you can pretty quickly generate a sales tax estimate, again, that will support the basic notion that there is an enormous benefit to the taxpayer of having a privately financed stadium in a downtown area. And we've seen that certainly in other cities. I think it's interesting the caller was thinking about other studies to cite, but really had a difficulty identifying any other cities where a ballpark's been created in a downtown area where it has not had a transformative impact. I think we've certainly seen that over the last decade and a half.
John Wolfick, in your reporting, as you've looked at this question, and it comes up frequently about whether or not really stadiums are such a great deal after all, do you have anything you can add on what we've learned about that question nationwide?
Well, it's been studied quite a bit, but most of those studies that have concluded that they're a bad deal are looking at the usual pattern, which is publicly financed ballparks, and that has been the norm over the last half century in baseball. In fact, almost every new ballpark built over the last half century, except for the AT&T Park and the Dodger Stadium, were essentially mostly paid for through public financing of some sort or another.
And what about this one?
This one is proposed to be privately built. There was the city was expected to make some form of contribution in terms of providing land. Even that is a fairly minimal contribution at this point. I mean, the city only had half the parcels for the ballpark site in its possession. That's now been taken over by a state successor agency to redevelopment. But in any case, the public contribution to this project would be minimal. It would be about on the order of what happened in San Francisco, where it was about, I think, 5% of the overall cost of AT&T Park. You're talking about infrastructure improvements and maybe selling land at a reduced rate to the owners. But beyond that, I mean, the construction cost and everything else would be borne by the owners. So you're essentially talking about a freebie.
Richard, thanks for the call. A couple of comments I want to get to that people have sent in by Facebook or by tweet or by email. Lara writes, I don't care either way. Sorry, but I guess I just don't understand why more stadiums are even needed. Linda writes, it's time to end the monopoly. And Todd adds this, your guest from the San Jose City Council doesn't seem to care that by challenging Major League Baseball's antitrust exemption, it's potentially changing and endangering baseball as we know it. The draft, arbitration, the minor league system, all could end because of this. Is San Jose's need to be seen as a major league city so great that he is willing to jeopardize the relationship between our nation and our national pastime? Sam Liccardo.
Dave, you know, I certainly am confident that the billionaires who own all these teams throughout Major League Baseball are going to do fine regardless of what happens with this lawsuit. But, you know, NFL, the National Hockey League, the NBA, all operate under the federal antitrust laws, and I don't hear anybody complaining about that fact. Major League Baseball will go on. And I think for many of us, Major League Baseball will be better if, in fact, we know all the teams will be competing on an even playing field.
What about the question, the legal question, John Wolfolk, of standing as it comes to this? There are those who are making the argument that San Jose isn't going to get very far with this because they don't necessarily have standing in federal court, I guess in part because Major League Baseball hasn't made a decision. They haven't said no to San Jose. They've just sort of have this on perpetual study. So if there's no definitive no, what right does San Jose really have to sue? Can you help us understand that part of the question?
Well, I'm not the lawyer, but from what lawyers have told me, the city can make the argument that that baseball has effectively said no by not saying yes, and they can also point to the option agreement that Mr. Liccardo had referred to between the city and the A's ownership as a legal contract that gives them that essentially baseball is violating.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean there's no risk and that baseball can't make an argument on standing grounds. But I think the city has, you know, an argument in its favor that it can make.
And Sam Liccardo, I mean, paint the picture for us in terms of what you think is going on with Major League Baseball. According to the commissioner, there's a committee that's studying this. It's been studied for 4 years. Is your opinion that that's just baloney, that they're going to study this forever, that it's all just a big stall so that they don't, that they keep San Jose away, but they don't say no, therefore improving the odds that they will have to say, make some sort of, be subject to some sort of legal challenge?
Well, Dave, I don't know how billionaires think. I guess if I did, I'd be a much wealthier man myself. But I am pretty confident that if you were to survey 29 of the 30 club owners about whether or not they would prefer to see
the A's in a market where they can make money rather than lose money and thereby draw money from the other major league teams, they would say they'd much rather that the A's be in a location where they can certainly make money. And obviously San Jose is a city that's 2.5 times the size of Oakland, and the metropolitan area is one that's very much in the heart of Silicon Valley that will be a more lucrative market.
So is this just about the Giants in the end? Is that what you're saying, Mr.
Yeah,
Ricardo?
There's one team, obviously, yeah, that would object, and that's the San Francisco Giants. And Major League Baseball has essentially protected the Giants from competition. As John mentioned, in L.A., Chicago, and New York, both the teams have to compete in the same market. This is the only place in the country where the market is geographically divided, and the Giants want to keep it that way. And they have exerted great effort, and we've seen it in a lawsuit that they filed against the city of San Jose through a front group called Stand for San Jose, and they had their San Jose Giant minor league team involved in the litigation, and they used their own attorneys. They're doing everything they can to block this.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take one other quick call before we can. Sorry to interrupt, Sam, but Eve in San Jose, go ahead, please.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Eve.
Yes, I'm sorry. I live in San Jose. I live about a mile from the arena, which is now SAP, but used to be Hewlett-Packard. And I've lived here for 35 years, been very involved in the city, and I cannot tell you how important the building of the arena was to the turnaround to our city. So the reason I called was because I heard this other person saying, oh, no, it doesn't make any difference. It sincerely made a difference in San Jose.
Okay, Eve, thank you. I'm sorry to jump back in on you, but we have just a moment left, and I want to get a last thought from John Wolfolk on. Just quickly, John, on the calendar as it goes forward, if Major League Baseball sort of proceeds with glacial speed, will it be any quicker in the federal courts?
Well, the thing that the city has achieved with the lawsuit is that they've taken the timeline out of the commissioner's hands and put it in the hands of the federal court system. And as you said, the federal court system isn't exactly known for great speed, but it does move at a pace, and that there will be a resolution. I've told from multiple lawyers that they believe that this could be resolved in certainly within the time that baseball has been studying the move already.
All right, and we'll have to hold there and eagerly await whatever that outcome is. Sam Liccardo and John Wolfolk, thanks both very much. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Lorberg. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. Our engagement producer, Amanda Stupai, and our engineer, Howie Gelman. I'm Dave Iverson. This is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.